It's not just about making scientific thinking come across, but there is a value to get artists to put it out in different ways, significantly different from reading a book or making posters to describe something.
Welcome to the second season of the Art Meets podcast, brought to you by the Swiss Arts Council Poelvetia, within its focus on art, science and technology. Join me, Jennifer Kakshuri, as I talk to artists, scientists and enablers from India and beyond. We will talk about Kodj in this episode. Kodj, a vibrant place, a place where all sorts of creative people, artists and scientists come together, collaborate and explore the possibilities of working past any boundary.
Well, first and foremost, Kodj in Hindi and in Urdu means to search and to find. So it's really a search, an ongoing search.
Let's meet the director of Kodj, who also was one of the founders.
My name is Pooja Sood, and I'm the director of Kodj International Artists Association, which is a contemporary art space based in Delhi.
Kodj is over 25 years old.
25 years ago, it was not just me, it was a group of us who started Kodj. It was six artists and myself. And India was a very different place 25 years ago. We felt our third world status, and I think that says it all. We had two kind of cars on the road. There was no McDonald's, certainly no internet.
Pooja smiles when she thinks back at how things used to be.
You had to stand in queue to get your gas cylinder. You had a two-year waiting line for the telephone. It was that kind of space that we're talking about. And in the arts, it was also extremely conservative. There was painting, yes, good painting. And don't forget, we come from the whole miniature tradition, which comes from as far away as the Mughals in Persia. But also, there was a lot of sculpture in the modernist tradition, a la the British. But in terms of more contemporary practice in the 90s, you know, which was happening all over the world, even the word installation was just about permeating into India. And it was at that time where very few artists traveled all over the world, unlike today, where every artist seems to be on a plane. Very few artists had access to information.
Stuff we take for granted today, like traveling, being connected. Imagine life without the internet. Back then, totally normal.
So it was at that point where I think a lot of younger artists felt that they needed more space. And they wanted space which was not only gallery-led or institution-led, which was the government, and out of the college space. And where were those spaces? They didn't exist, right? So it was seven of us who started. And before I go further, I must say that this was a gift. It was really a gift that was given to us by somebody called Robert Loder, who was a British collector. And who had started these workshops in South Africa during apartheid, where he would bring white and black artists together and just realize that in doing so, it was a political act, just getting them to make work together.
So Kodj was the first of its kind in India.
And there was also this desire to connect with the Global South. The fact that there were artists coming in from Africa, etc., was really exciting. The model of this workshop, which is how we started, was 12 Indian artists from across India, and India is a subcontinent, so you can imagine, and 12 international artists who were truly international. So from the Global South, but equally from the region, which is from South Asia. I mean, we did not know what was happening in Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Nepal. Because how? I mean, India's the big brother there. There's political problems between India and Pakistan that continue till this day. We just didn't know what was happening unless there was one big exhibition sometimes. So this space that opened up just to experiment for the sake of art was really an exhilarating space.
Pooja herself studied mathematics and earned an MBA as well as a degree in art history and a few more further diplomas and certificates. Today, Kodj is an autonomous art organization based in New Delhi and has pioneered transdisciplinary and experimental creative practices, including the sciences. Similarly, the Swiss Arts Council Poelvetia has established a global network of offices, including one in India, to support artistic projects and collaborations worldwide. We talked to the head of the office based in New Delhi,
My name is Akshay Pathak, and I head the Swiss Arts Council Pro Helvetia's liaison office in New Delhi. We have been around there for the last 17 years, looking at the entire region around India, so not just India, but South Asia, looking at promoting Swiss artists abroad, creating exchanges. This could be in the form of residencies, research trips, participations at big platforms like Biennales, etc. It's a mixture of exchange and promotion.
What makes India so significant when it comes to art and science?
I think there are two answers to that. Firstly, because of this history where knowledge is a whole, it's not separate, so artists have always explored that. And secondly, I think India has made great strides in science in the last, since it got independent. We just landed on the moon. I mean, I don't want to be jingoistic, but it's interesting because it is a new nation in that sense. It was colonized for a long time. For it to reach it on its own, it means it has the potential to use science for imagination, for many things.
Akshay tells us about collaborating and bringing people to India and to Switzerland. As the head of Pro Helvetia New Delhi, connected to Switzerland, what is Khoj to him?
Khoj is a very unique space in India which provided the right kind of mixture and the possibility for young artists, older artists, artists from different disciplines to come together and experiment. And to continue to do that after 25 years is, Khoj for me is like, it's the best laboratory of experiment in India right now.
Pro Helvetia and Khoj collaborate regularly.
In various ways. We've had artists in residence at their campus. We've participated in workshops. We've had performances there. It's really a multidisciplinary space. It kind of, it's amorphous. It can become a festival. It can become a residency. It can become a workshop. It can become an exhibition space. So we kind of talk to them regularly to see how we can also be part of this.
Khoj appears to be a place of multiplicity, a space for any form of art and the facilitation of any kind of art practice. Who, beyond fellow artists, would its audience be?
I think that's true for the art world everywhere in that sense, that there will be a certain kind of audience which is interested in that. Of course, it's a limited number of people, but I think the more interesting question is that it's an engaged audience. And it's an audience, if I look at, I know Khoj now for 20 years. When I was going there as a young boy 20 years ago, there was a young, excited audience. I go there now as a kind of a middle-aged man, and there is a young, excited audience of a different generation. So that is interesting, that they kind of reinvent themselves to be able to be relevant to the youth of today.
Let's go back to Pooja and find out how art and science came together at Khoj in the first place. It all began about 20 years ago when Khoj was already running for 5 years.
From 2002 onwards, we just started doing residencies, and it just, you know, the smaller versions of our workshops. And they became pretty boring in 2 years flat because you just bring in diverse artists and what does it mean? So we started curating it, and we started our first residency ever on the River Jamuna, which was not pure science, but an ecological one, in 2006, when ecology was not center stage. You know, it was really some peripheral thing you didn't really talk about. You talked about identity, you talked about politics, but you didn't talk about ecology. And from that, we started looking at different mediums like light, also sound, because, you know, there was so much music happening. So we were looking at mediums.
Khoj's openness to experimentation led to a surge of creativity that extended beyond traditional mediums, blurring the boundaries between art, science, and technology.
And then one of the artists who was working with us at that time was really interested in science, and that's Rohini. And so I said, okay, why don't we do an art and science residency? And as I've said, that we're a space, a not-for-profit space, committed to experimentation and exchange, and therefore we also believe that we can experiment as an organization. We don't have to do, you know, very safe things. We can just say, okay, let's try it. And I said, come on, you curate it. She said, oh, okay. So she was very interested to work with somebody within biology. We managed to get a network with an institution, which was a lab, a very well-known lab.
You will hear Rohini in the third of this podcast series. She will talk about what and how she is researching right now. But back to Pooja.
We had one or two other artists who were thinking about the social science or the history of science as well. And, you know, we put this residency together and it was fantastic. It was fantastic for us because we learned so much, but it was also difficult to continue it because we also realized that there was a certain resistance by scientists, one would say, where they would say, like, you know, artists tend to do very foo-foo.
The divide between scientists and artists prevented them from fully exploring the potential for mutual inspiration and creating new forms of knowledge.
They enjoy the abstraction that the art brings. What they really enjoy, or some of them tend to enjoy, is the fact that their work gets communicated or manifested in a different medium, which is great. For example, we had this physicist who came and talked to us about chaos theory. And he loved the fact that there were a couple of artists doing some crazy stuff. And he gave us a full lecture on chaos theory, which we had never heard. And it was really interesting for him to kind of point it out and work with the artist.
When artists and scientists work on daring collaborations, let's call it crazy stuff, the walls between their disciplines may melt away.
I've studied mathematics too, and I think at its best level, it's abstraction. So you look at the best abstract art and you take mathematics at its best, it's pure abstraction, it's that beautiful, you know, because when epsilon tends to infinity, what does that even mean? You know, what does it mean to tend to infinity? What is infinity? And those are the kind of philosophical questions that artists are constantly asking. So I think there is that kind of mix of art and science that exists. It's just that when it's broken down into biological sciences and, you know, it's not the fundamental questions that you're asking about life and the universe. And, you know, I think it's when it becomes siloed into, you know, this is what, when it's more prescriptive, is when you just lose something.
Artists and scientists often ask similar questions, exploring the nature of reality and existence. What can artists and scientists do to bridge the gap between the disciplines and enable more fruitful collaborations?
Well, I think the most important thing is time, really. And that's what's lacking with most artists and scientists. Everybody's super busy. But for any good collaboration, there has to be trust and time. You might get along very well, but once you begin to work on a project, what does it mean to collaborate? What does it mean for your ideas and my understanding and my interpretation or misinterpretation or my questions to you, which, you know, you may not like? And also when it becomes very, very super speculative, when science tries to make it very real and, you know, it has to be, it's all based on rationality. You know, and when there are those kind of questions, it also depends on how open a scientist is to allow for these speculative questions, because I think they do speculate themselves, especially in the pure sciences. In the applied sciences, it's about, you know, this is gravity and this is what we're going to do with it. So I think the applied scientists, and therefore technology, can sometimes be a little boring. But so, you know, I think the pure sciences are a little more open.
Despite her boundless energy, Pooja is embracing the serenity of a more measured pace.
We're doing succession planning at Coach, so I'm trying to get the hell out of Coach. It's been 25 years, man. So a lot of the projects are now actually run by my curators. So they know the artists inside out.
One of these artists who happens to have a science background is Kaldi Moss. You can get to know Kaldi in the next episode of this mini-series of the Art Meets podcast brought to you by the Swiss Arts Council Puelvizia. One of Kaldi Moss' main artistic interests is sound.
I didn't know anything about sound. And then there was a shift. Actually, this shift was so acute, it was so absolute, that the flat surface of the canvas became too extremely flat. It seemed quite, you know, the opposite of potent, you know. It became completely flat and almost unapproachable.